Welcome to NARAL's The Morning After. Each Thursday, our podcast brings you the latest on reproductive health care, progressive politics, and the fight to keep abortion safe and legal. NARAL's The Morning After is a production of NARAL Pro-Choice Ohio. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at ProChoiceOH. Enjoy the show.
Hi, I'm Randy.
Hi, I'm Jamie. You might notice we're missing somebody this week, so if there's technical difficulties, it's so not my fault. It's Gabe's for going on vacation.
Exactly.
He's on a beach somewhere with his children, like surfing and wakeboarding and kayaking and having all kinds of fun. So.
And making mac and cheese.
Well, he isn't. You gotta do what you gotta do. So we weren't really thinking we'd do one this week, and then like the world blew up, so yeah. There was a lot to talk about. So
a crazy week.
It started out fabulously. Mm-hmm. with the FDA ruling on mifepristone or RU486, the abortion pill.
Yes.
Actually allowing a newer evidence-based protocol instead of the old outdated protocol, which for a lot of states didn't mean anything at all because their doctors were already using the evidence-based protocol because that's kind of how the FDA works. Mm-hmm. You approve a drug based on the evidence at that point in time, and then as you use a drug, it gets to be more and more known, and we figure out you don't need as much of it, or you can take it in a different way, or it's used for something else, kind of like aspirin for heart attacks.
True.
Not what the FDA approved it for. So, but, you know.
Like, it's like, you know, the old what the old protocol was and what the new protocol now will be.
Yeah, so it used to be only up to 49 days of gestation, and now they can use it up to 70 days of gestation. Mm-hmm. It used to be 600 milligrams of Mifeprex, and now it's 200 milligrams of Mifeprex, so a third of the medication. Mm-hmm. And then the misoprostol, which is the second medication in the regimen, used to have to be taken at the clinic. So the woman would have to come back 48 yeah. hours later for the medication. And now you just have to take it at a place that's convenient to the woman. So mm-hmm. if she feels like she needs to come back to the clinic because that would be preferable to her, she can. But if she feels capable of doing it on her own at home, she can do that as well.
Yeah.
Those are the major changes that'll take effect in Ohio. They also allow for it to be dispensed under the supervision of a healthcare professional. The old protocol said physician. But unfortunately, Ohio law in a different section of code forbids nurse practitioners from being able to dispense abortion-inducing medications. So that won't help us here. A physician still has to do it here. But because Ohio law required the FDA protocol, we were having to give three times as much medication, forcing the woman to come back to the clinic again yeah. and having to stop at 49 days. And as soon as the new protocol came out, because Ohio law said you had to follow the FDA protocol, our clinics were able to use the FDA protocol.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That is awesome and exciting.
Yeah, so it was good news for once.
Yes.
We got to, you know, email all of our people out and say, hey, something fun and new and good happened for once rather
yes.
than bad things.
It's a lot of bad things that happen.
Uh-huh.
A lot, I'll say, in the legislature.
Yes.
Yes, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Also, of course, we have to talk about Donald Trump.
You know, it would be really nice if we didn't have to.
It would be awesome if we didn't have to, if everyone didn't have to talk about him constantly, but, you know, he keeps himself out there. So
he opens his mouth and then sticks his foot in it.
Yes, which he did recently. And he had a town hall with Chris Matthews, which I was trying to watch some of it, but the channel kept going out of my house for some reason. But anyway, during this town hall, they got into the issue of abortion. And basically, they were, you know, Trump is saying, you know, he's pro-life. He's like Reagan, pro-life with exceptions. And so Chris Matthews is like really grilling him. He's like, well, if you ban it, how are you going to ban it? You're going to have sanctions. And he asked him, you know, you're going to have, are you going to punish somebody? And it's going to be the woman punished. And Donald Trump was like, well, yes, there would have to be some form of punishment. And he was like, it would be for the woman. And he said, yes, for the woman. And so, of course, that was like exploded everywhere. Everyone was
yeah.
talking about it because, of course, it's just a crazy thing. And then he tried to walk back later and say that No, it would just be the doctors mm-hmm. or whoever performed the abortion that would, you know, get into trouble, which is not any better. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's really crazy. And the ironic thing is that, like, all the anti-abortion people are like, well, you know, Trump needs to be educated. He doesn't know what he's talking about when he talks about this issue. We don't want, you know, of course no one wants a woman to be punished. And I'm so happy that our side has come out and been like, you know what? Women are already being punished. Yeah. There's already women in jail right now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because they either had a miscarriage or they tried to self-induce or whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. But because they felt they could not get access to a safe legal abortion, they're in jail now.
Yeah. And that was really the crazy thing, was that it wasn't just the pro-choice side, like, calling Trump out. Like, yeah. The antis were like, no, we don't mean that. No.
Exactly.
It was another perfect example of Trump saying what the Republican Party believes out loud when they don't
usually do that. Because he's not a polished politician and he just says whatever, then he doesn't know the talking points.
Yeah.
So, of course, he slipped up and said exactly what they really do. And at the same time, like, I was watching this whole segment on Rachel Maddow about it, and she was talking about how Ted Cruz himself, the co-chair of his pro-life committee, is Troy, I'm not going to remember.
Newman.
Yes, exactly. And he started the Operation Rescue. Mm-hmm. And so he believes that we should kill doctors who perform abortions, yeah. that they deserve to die, and that it would be justifiable to help save pre-born babies. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, Operation Rescue, Troy Newman himself is on the board of the Center for Medical Progress, David Deladon's group, mm-hmm. that did all the false videos and who's now being indicted for the false videos. And, you know, and he was actually denied a visa to enter Australia. We've talked about this on other ones. He was denied a visa to enter Australia earlier this year. Went anyway, of course, because that's who he is, after he knew his visa had been withdrawn. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because they were afraid he would incite violence against their abortion provider. You know, exactly. This is who is on Ted Cruz's.
So how are you going to say that we don't believe in punishing mm-hmm. women, or that, you know, what Donald Trump said was too extreme? But you, like, you are just as extreme. Like, all of them are just as extreme.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Seriously.
Well, and the other part is, like, so if you don't want to prosecute the woman, mm-hmm. I mean, in these scenarios, she's committing a crime. If abortion is murder, she's committing a crime by going and having the abortion. So mm-hmm. by saying that, oh, no, we'll just prosecute the doctors, we're saying, woman, you know, you're just somebody we need to protect.
Exactly.
Or you're not responsible for your own
actions.
Well,
he said that
they
would be the victim.
Yeah, exactly. They're the victim. They're choosing their own health care.
Exactly.
But in that scenario, they're a victim.
They have, like, doctors are going around just randomly, let me stand outside the grocery store. Mm-hmm. Are you pregnant? Well, can I interest you in an abortion? Like, I give you a really good price. Like, no, that's not how any of this works.
No. It's a woman making a decision based on what she thinks is best for her
exactly.
family. She is not being coerced. She is not being tricked. She is not being fooled into any of this. And mm-hmm. the fact that you're saying that these women are all being, you know, just manipulated into making these decisions, you're saying women aren't capable of making these decisions.
We're too feeble-minded
to
make our own decisions. We need them to help us.
Yes. So, you know, little woman, we're not going to prosecute you because you didn't understand what you were doing. We're going to go after this bad, bad doctor who forced you into it. So,
exactly.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
It's completely ridiculous. So, you know, again, Donald mm-hmm. Trump. Saying what the Republican Party really means.
Saying what they really think. It's true. All the laws that are in place right now, the case that's at the Supreme mm-hmm. Court right now, that's all because, you know, they might not be throwing women in jail, which, again, though, there are some women who are. But for the most part, they're still punishing them. By if you can't go to some place, if you can't get there, then either you're going to have to be forced to have a baby you didn't want to have,
mm-hmm.
or you're going to try to self-induce like a lot of women in Texas have.
Yeah. So that's the reality of the world.
Yeah.
No matter how you want to spin it, however, for your purposes.
Exactly.
But Trump wasn't the only one who opened his mouth and stuck his foot in it this week.
Exactly.
Our illustrious governor, again. Like, dude, he just needs to stop talking.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm posting that on my personal Facebook page every day. Like, just stop talking. Because he actually did it twice this week in fabulousness at two different town halls. The first
he
one...
He loves town halls.
He does. And he should not, because unscripted Kasich is foot and mouth Kasich.
Yes.
Which is fabulous for us, because it's, you know, entertaining to actually hear what he believes rather than the moderate face that goes out there everywhere.
Sure.
But yeah, so a woman at a town hall asked him who he would pick as a vice president, like, you know, who would align with your values, blah, 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 is the question you're asking in those kinds of situations. And, you know, Kasich basically responded back with, "Are you available? You look nice today."
Yeah.
So, you know, we pick our vice presidential candidates based on being a cute girl.
Yeah.
Like, are you trying to hit on her? Because that didn't work. Like,
no.
Dude, just stop trying. And it's funny because every time I post something like that, somebody's like, well, you're taking it out of context, or he just did this once. I'm like,
yeah.
If he had done it just that once, it would still be gross and disgusting, but
yeah.
Like, almost excusable.
Mm-hmm.
But no, we told the girl he didn't have Taylor Swift tickets for her.
Exactly.
You know, he talked dieting with the other woman. Like,
mm-hmm.
He does this all the time.
Yes.
It's actually how he believes. He really is right up there with, you know, everybody else on, like, the sexism scale.
Yeah.
And the patronizing scale.
Exactly.
It couldn't be an actual serious question from the woman. He had to tell her she looked nice and she could be his vice president because she looks nice.
Yeah.
You're pretty.
I can't with them. It's too much.
It is. And then
they're all the same. They're all the same, but they try to point fingers at the other one and say that this one's worse. But it's just like the actual, it's really semantics. But as far as policy-wise and like ideology-wise, like they're all the same.
Yeah. I mean, we saw it with this week. I saw something on Medicaid expansion. He talks, goes around and talks about how God told him that he should expand Medicaid because he actually cares about poor people.
Yeah.
The state of Ohio this week filed a waiver application with the federal government that would require people in the Medicaid expansion population to pay premiums.
I thought the whole point was for them to have free health care because they can't afford to pay premiums.
Yes.
If they could afford to pay premiums, wouldn't they just be on the on the regular exchange?
Supposedly they're less of a premium than on the exchange, so there's that. But you know, you hear it over and over again from him and his staff that, well, we need to train these people so they understand that healthcare insurance has premiums, so that they have to pay premiums because poor people don't know that they have bills to pay. Like, how patronizing can you be towards poor people? Like,
you know what? My problem, not everyone has to pay premiums, especially if you're an employee.
Yeah.
If you're an employee who actually, I don't know, grew up in a neighborhood, you got a good education, you would be able to get training, you would be able to get a good job that has benefits. And guess what? I don't have to pay premiums and I have great health insurance because I have a great job. So maybe if we were able to give them good education, they were able to get good jobs, then of course they would have insurance, but they wouldn't necessarily have to pay premiums. Does John Kasich pay a premium for his health insurance?
He probably does because a lot of state employees do, but I mean, the fact that we don't,
he
can afford it. He probably has his gold standard ridiculous plan out of it.
I know.
But
Congress has the best health insurance. Mm-hmm. Like, I wanted to, do they have to pay premiums too?
Yeah, I'm sure they do a little bit, but.
Maybe so. Anyway,
it's
still
a fraction of what it is. But yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's like you talk about how you're this compassionate conservative and you actually care about people, but that's a 30,000 foot view of John Kasich. Like, you get into the details of any of this stuff, and, you know, he's just as ridiculous as everybody
else.
Like,
people don't understand bills, what bills are.
Yeah, poor people need to understand that they need to learn how to pay premiums and co-pays. Is what I hear all the time in these hearings when they talk about it. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to kill you. Do you talk to poor people?
Poor people understand bills.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, being poor keeps you in a cycle because there's so many fees and taxes for being poor in this country. I mean, it's ridiculous, especially like if you can't get a checking account or banking account and you have to use one of those like prepaid cards, like they have a ton of fees on them. If you have to go to like the one of those check cashing places, mm-hmm. where you get like where they give you an advance or something, mm-hmm. and then they charge like something like 300% interest, like
on a daily basis.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. Uh-huh. So to say that poor people don't understand like bills and taxes and fees and like trying to get by, that is ridiculous. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So kind of along those same lines, the telling the girl she's pretty wasn't John Kasich's only foot and mouth moment this week. And the Chris Matthews town hall again, they were talking about Ohio's infant mortality crisis because we are almost dead last for overall infant mortality and dead last for infant mortality in the African-American community. Mm-hmm. And John Kasich kind of addressed that and kind of the only way that John Kasich can by saying that, of course, we're addressing the issue, but we need the minority community to, you know, come and help us on this because we've made great gains in the majority community, which I don't even know what that means. But we're still lagging behind in the minority community, basically saying, hey, y'all, you know, you guys need to get your own act together because I got my white my rich white people over here and we don't have that problem. So I don't know what your problem is, but you need to fix it.
Yeah, and he understands the problem, like, not at all.
Yeah.
And he probably thinks that it's just a problem for poor, like, minority people, but it's a problem for even middle class and rich. Mm-hmm. Black women. So it's not just, you know, which is a weird thing, which is why the problem is so big. And mm-hmm. I guess that's why it's being so hard to like solve, but yeah, he hasn't really tried to understand it. Like most of the legislators here just passing things that don't really take into account, like, what is this really going to do?
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. I mean, one of the statistics, you do assume, you know, mm-hmm. African-American community is more likely to live in poverty. And so you kind of do assume that it's based on poverty and lower education levels and all those things. And then I was at a conference mm-hmm. once where they were talking about it, and they actually, you know, the statistic is that a middle-class, college-educated African-American woman mm-hmm. has a higher risk of her baby dying before its first birthday, which is the definition of infant mortality, than a high school dropout, low-income white woman.
Exactly.
Like, that's not income. Yeah. That's not education level.
That's why it doesn't make sense. Yeah.
And so we need to understand those things, and we need to do better, and we need to not say, well, you guys need to, you know, get yourself together and figure it out, because the majority community has it all figured out. Seriously, what's wrong? Who even speaks like that? Was my other piece of this whole thing.
And you know what else like I hate that he says? I hate it because he said this a couple of times. Like it's part of his stump speech about, you know, everybody helping everybody mm-hmm. and doing this. And he goes, and you know, and we have to help our friends in the minority community. I'm like, why? So just you saying it like that, that gives me like a vision into your mind. Like, you don't see us as being a part of the larger community. No. It's like, oh, you know, we're doing our thing. We're going to, you know, bring ourselves up. And, oh, and this group over here, we'll try to help them too. Like, because when you say friends, that's an inherent, because you treat friends differently than you treat family.
Yeah.
And so you don't see people of color as part of the human family. You see them as this group over here, which is why we have the problems that we have right now.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Go, John Kasich.
Exactly.
Well, then actually, you know what? Kasich also responded. It was funny because he actually put out a clip of him on, I think it was actually on MSNBC or one of the shows, I can't remember which one it was, where they asked him about Donald Trump and his abortion comments. And he was like, oh, yeah, those crazy abortion comments. And then he totally glosses over them and moves on. I'm like, oh, that was an interesting, like, you called that crazy, but you believe it. So everybody responded this week. I mean, Hillary Clinton came out against Donald Trump saying that his comments were ridiculous and criminalizing women. You know, we need to believe. Bernie kind of stepped in it a little bit, though. Did you see Bernie's response?
Yes, I did see that. And I saw also Hillary's response to his response.
Yeah, so Bernie responded back with, you know, Trump's comments are distracting us from the important issues of the day.
Yeah.
Which, thanks. You know, yes, on a daily basis, there are probably more people thinking about terrorism and living wage. But at the same time, for the woman who's trying to seek an abortion and not wanting to go to jail for it, it's a really freaking important thing.
Exactly.
And women's health care is not a distraction from what you want to be talking about.
And if you're clear on all the things, you know, she's very clear on the things we haven't passed. But if you're clear and knowledgeable on the things that we have been passing all over the country in the last 8 years, it's abortion restrictions.
Yeah.
They shot up so much, like hundreds and hundreds of abortion restrictions. And also we have the case of the Supreme Court right now. So I feel like that is a big issue.
Yeah. It's a very big issue.
Yeah.
And it's not a distraction. Women's health is not a distraction. When you say women's health is a distraction,
Planned Parenthood has been defunded. In several different states right now.
Yeah.
And other states have tried to do it. And, you know, luckily it was vetoed in Virginia this week.
Mm-hmm.
But, so it is a big deal.
Yeah. So the presidential race continues to be exciting and fun. Our friends in Wisconsin vote next week.
Mm-hmm.
So go out and vote. I think you already have early voting, so go vote early.
Mm-hmm.
Grab your friends, make them vote.
Yes.
And all the way down the ticket. Because the veto in Virginia showed you why you need to vote in off-year elections. Because they've got a fabulous governor who vetoes things, and we've got a not-so-fabulous governor who signs everything Ohio Red Life wants to do.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah. Also, this is it's funny on the surface, but once you dig deeper, it's not funny. But the airport in Peoria, Illinois, was shut down yesterday for several hours because a trainer with the National Abortion Federation, which she had like this, I don't even know how, it was like this training prop.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to look like a bomb, but they said it's so, like, ostentatiously fake. They don't know how anyone could possibly have thought it was real. Like, they travel with it all the time. Mm-hmm. It's
been
like,
through airport security many times and never been flagged.
It has, like, cartoony, like, dynamite letter, like,
dog toy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. So, but anyway, they saw it in this woman's checked bag. And I guess she was going to do it a carry-on. They saw her carry-on bag. And they shut down the entire airport. And no one could go in and out for, like, several hours until they figured out, like, this was not real. It was just a prop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, my response was, when our boss texted me about it, I was like, I can't decide whether it's hilarious or terrifying all at once. Number one, that Tizay thought dynamite dog toys were a bomb. I mean, I guess if you're going to err on one side, erring on the side of caution is probably good.
Yeah. But I mean, who makes a bomb and literally writes dynamite on the...
Dynamite.
Yeah.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
I don't know.
Is this the Acme Bomb Company?
Yes.
Like...
Yep. And so, but I think the larger issue is people finally can understand what our providers go through on a daily basis. But the fact that we need somebody to be traveling the country teaching abortion providers on how to identify explosives mailed to them in the mail just really shows that, our providers are targeted by people like Troy Newman.
Yeah.
Operation Rescue. And, they are under constant threat of attack. I mean, we had the shooting in Colorado Springs, in the same way that we get horrified that kindergartners in schools are now doing live shooter drills in school. Our friends that work in abortion clinics do live shooter drills at their clinic.
Yeah.
Bomb drills at the clinic. People should not be facing this kind of violence trying to get access to what is a constitutionally protected medical service.
Yes. Exactly.
So, it really does allow, kind of the rest of the world to see in a very kind of weird way that you would never expect, really see what's going on.
I never understood the logic of, like you say, if you think abortion is murder, then saying that murdering someone who murders is okay. Like, I don't understand that.
Yeah.
Logic.
Because
then wouldn't it be okay for someone else to then kill you because you murdered someone?
We don't go that far. No. But yeah, so it really does. I mean, they say all the time, you know, the people who have been convicted of shooting abortion providers, because there have been several, always say that it's really because, you know, it's self-defense for the babies. If I shoot this, if I kill this one person, he won't be able to perform thousands of abortions. So in their mind, kill thousands of babies. So I'm sacrificing the one to save the thousands, is their rationale. Which is not okay. I mean, again, this really goes back to, you want to, like, not have women have abortions, let's make sure they have access to health care.
Mm-hmm. Birth control.
Birth control. Prenatal care. Yes. Being able to live in a safe community without environmental pollution. Because that actually came out this week, too. It's been a crazy, ridiculous week. There was a study that actually came out that showed that air pollution actually can contribute. So areas, it didn't actually create the causal link, because that's a really hard thing to do in science. But they compared areas of high level of air pollution to preterm birth rates, which is a high contributor to infant mortality.
Yeah.
And found that the Ohio Valley and I think two areas in California and the East Coast had some of the highest concentrations of air pollution.
Mm-hmm.
The Ohio River Valley and Ohio being because we still burn really, really dirty coal on a daily basis, because people like Kasich are in bed with coal companies.
Mm-hmm.
And
of course.
And so those areas with really high air pollution are seeing more preterm births happen in those areas.
Mm-hmm.
So again, John Kasich talks about infant mortality and wanting to reduce infant mortality, but then he sued the federal government to stop Obama's EPA, federal EPA, from putting harsher limits on the emissions from coal burning power plants.
Yeah.
So you don't really care. Well, when it comes between infant mortality and protecting your buddies in the coal industry, your buddies in the coal industry win over babies. So that's, again, in case it feels on that one too.
I actually do understand it. It's just very sad.
You don't want to understand it.
It's very sad, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just,
yep.
Yeah.
How things work.
Luckily, none of the Republicans are going to win the White House.
Yep.
I feel very confident that they're not going to.
From your words to God's ears, as they say.
I honestly do, though, because they, because like Hillary Clinton was saying the other day, I was listening to her speech, and she was saying that she's gotten more votes than anyone else in the race. And so, and even though the Democratic turnout is not as high as it was in 2008, 2012, it still has been higher than the Republican turnout, even though the Republican turnout has been higher because of Trump. Mm-hmm. But ours is still higher than theirs, though.
Mm. Haven't heard that one, but I knew that they were having better turnout than they had in the past. But
yeah, they are having higher turnout.
But cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so go vote if you still haven't yet voted.
Yeah.
Go encourage your other people in other states if you already have.
Mm-hmm.
Vote, 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 vote. Somebody did support this week was like, I'm so frustrated. Like, I don't know what to do. Like, seriously, like, beyond, you know, speaking out and giving money, like, what the hell can I do? It's like, vote and take everybody you know to vote.
Yes.
It's really the number one thing you can do this year, next year, the year after that, especially vote.
Yes, exactly. The Supreme Court's on the line.
Yes.
So remember that, people. When we think that we couldn't possibly go back because the other three on that side want to take us back. So, but I don't think they're going to win. Anyways, moving on to Let's Get It On. Coming up really fast.
I know, less than 2 weeks.
Yes, exactly. It's going to be our Freedom of Choice Lobby Day that we're doing with our fellow partners, Planned Parenthood, ACLU.
IRC. There we go. Religious Coalition. National Council of Jewish Women, AAUW, League of Women Voters, the National Association of Social Workers, Preterm. I'm sure there's somebody else and I'm forgetting. I'm sorry, my sponsors.
I know, it's a lot of sponsors.
A lot of them.
Yeah, which is great. I love it when we work with other partners. So hopefully it's going to be a great day. Do we know who our keynote speakers are yet?
We're still working on that. Okay. Hopefully it'll be a great day. Probably at least one legislator coming in and talking. So looking over schedules.
Okay.
And then trying to work on a really great like provider panel so that people can hear from people who are actual abortion providers or working clinics. So, because we talk about these restrictions kind of on an ethereal level all the time, but don't really get down in the nuts and bolts of how it actually then affects how you can treat a patient. When they come.
Yeah, that'll be really good. I think that's great. So if you haven't signed up yet, it's bit.ly/prochoice2016.
Yep. Links will be in the notes.
Yes.
On the YouTube video.
Okay, cool. And you can sign up that way.
And it's April 13th. Kind of an all-day thing. We start around 9:30 and usually 3:30, depending on when your appointments are. You can probably get out a little earlier. But it's really important, so sign up today, bit.ly/prochoice2016.
Exactly. We want to have a good showing because, like I said, Ohio Right to Life is the day before us.
Yep.
So we have to make them look bad.
Well, I mean, we don't have to work that hard. They usually accomplish that one.
No, that is true. We want to make ourselves look good.
There we go. All right. Well, we'll be back next week with the full compliment, and we'll see everybody then.
Bye.
Bye.